Okay, so let's discuss the Gemara here on Daled Amud Aleph. We'll try to get to Bittel as well. It's a very big topic, important topic. We'll get to that before Pesach. That's great. But first, let's do something, a smaller topic here. So the Gemara on Dav Daled Amud Aleph, this is six lines up from the bottom of the page, and we also produced it on the Makoros, which were sent out, apparently. So the Gemara says the following: Bo minei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. The question was raised. There's a whole series of ibayos. This is one of them. Hamas kibayos lechavero ba'arba asar. If a person rents property to someone else, all these Gemaras are dealing with that bigger scenario. We've been discussing other aspects the last few weeks. Now we're up to this one. A person rents property to Reuven, owns a piece of property. He rents it to Shimon on Yom Yadalid. And the question is whether or not Cheskasa Baduk or Ein Cheskasa Baduk. Can Shimon assume when he takes over the property that the Bedikas Chametz was already done on the property? Interesting question. The Gemara says, Lamai Nafkamina. What's the difference, you know, whether or not there's a chazaka or not? After all, the Shaile, why don't we just ask the Maskir, did you do Bedikas Chametz? Simple as that. Apparently, we would believe him, and we'll get back to that. And since we believe him, why not just ask him? And then, it doesn't really matter whether we pask in Cheskas Abaduk or Ein Cheskas Abaduk. We'll discuss what this means in a minute. First, I'm just going to go through the Shakla V'tari, and then I'm going to go back. So the Gemara says, Delei Silahai Delishyule. We're talking about a situation where the fellow is not present, so you can't ask him. If he was around, you could ask him. If he's, it's his representative or whatever it is, he runs away right away. You don't have the ability to ask him. So now the question is, La Truche, Lahai, Mai. Do we impose the burden of Bedikas Chametz on the Socher? Or can we assume that the Maskir took care of this responsibility? So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Tani Sua, we learned the following, Hakol Namanim Abir Chametz. Everyone is believed when it comes to Bir Chametz. Okay? Meaning, Afilu Nashim, Afilu Avadim, Afilu Ketanim. We will take the word for any, eyewitness, or anyone who claims he's an eyewitness, and we'll accept their testimony that there was a proper Bedikas Chametz. So the Gemara says, okay, what does that have to do with our question? Our question is not a question of whether we believe bystanders. Our question is whether you can presume that in the, changing of the guard, that there was, a Bedikas Chametz, that preceded it. So the Gemara says, "My Tama Mehemni." Why do we believe anybody, even Ketanim, even Avad, right? Why do we believe them? Lab Mishum Dechaz Kosobot. Maybe it's not because they are inherently credible. Maybe the reason is because we don't really need much or anything, maybe, from them. We believe them because the property, anyways, is b'cheskas baduk. T'kasavar, ha'kol chaverim heim, etzo b'dikas chametz. When it comes to b'dikas chametz, everybody's very diligent. So if somebody owns a property and the transition is on Yom Yadalid, you can assume that he's a chaver, that he's pious and diligent, and that he would take care of Bedikas Chametz prior to the fact. Therefore, when you ask the Eved or the Katan or the Isha, was there a Bedikas Chametz, you can rely on them because basically, you know, even if they didn't say a word, you know, you could presume that there was a Bedikas Chametz. Okay, that's what the Gemara is saying. Okay. The Tanya, they compare it to the following. Chaver Shemes, let's say you had a Talmud Chacham or a pious Jew, right? Shemes, and he died. Piniach Migura Malaya Peros. He left a, you know, a bag or a box or a, you know, full of Peros. And we're talking about an Eretz Yisrael. And the question is, was he Mafresh Trumas Maisras or not? Did he take care of his obligation, right? Or is it Tevel? Can you eat them? In other words, assuming that he was Mafresh or not. So the halacha is that Chavr Shemes, Biniach Megura Malaya Peros, Afilahim B'nei Yoman, even if they were just cut down today, and this is the day that he died, Harein B'cheskas Metukanim, the presumption is that he took off Trumas HaMaisras. Wow. Why? Cheskas Chaber She'ena Motzi Miyado Davar She'ena Metukan. So even if it's a small window of opportunity, right, as long as it's reasonable to think that it could have been done, the assumption is that there's a Cheskas Bedika. Okay? So the Gemara says, Huadin, the same may be true for everybody. Again, Hakol Chaverim, right? Eitzel Bedikas Chametz. Okay. Says the Gemara, Umimai, Domashani Hacha, Mishum, De Ka'amri Hani. You can't prove it from here. You might want to suggest this pshat, that it's not that we really believe the bystander. It's just that there's a very strong presumption that anyways that there was a Bedika, but there's an alternative, you know, explanation. And as long as there's an alternative explanation for something, there's no proof, right? You could say, no, that's not the case. The reason that we believe the Eved, the Isha, the Katan is because we believe them, not because there's a presumed Bedika without further evidence. Dilma Shaini Hacha Mishum de Ka'amri Hani, says the Gemara, Atu Amir Dahani Midi Mishasha Isbe? What, are these credible bystander, you know, witnesses? Of course, with regard to Katan, that's perfectly understandable. All the Rishonim had great difficulty with the application of this kind of skepticism to Isha. So we're not going to discuss that topic because it'll take us too far afield. But the Rishonim here discuss, is Isha generally, is a woman generally believed, does she have credibility in matters of Isurim? The majority view of the Rishonim, heavy majority, is that typically women are believed in Eidach Hanam Isurim, and that the situation here in Bedikas Chametz is a little bit different. And that is because of the difficulty of doing Bedikas Chametz. The way I like to explain it based on the Rishonim a little more is that maybe the women know that they cleaned the property or that the property is cleaned, you know, and therefore they're, you know, they don't take as seriously Bedikas Chametz itself. But the general view, not all Rishonim, there's a debate about this, but the general view of Rishonim is that women generally are for sure nemanos in matters of Eidechon, of Nemanos Bisur. If you look here at Tosis very quickly, I will get to it in a second. Hold on, we'll just hold off on it for a second. Okay. By the way, at the moment, the Gemara assumes that either Bedikas Chametz is different, or that Isha, Eved, and Katan generally are not Nemanim when it comes to Eidechon and Bisur. One of those two possibilities, and most Rishonim hold the first, a few Rishonim hold the second. So if that's the case, then it cannot be that we believe them because we believe them. It can only be that we believe them because the belief supports the presumptive kazaka, which in its own right determines this halacha. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, where am I? Ah, says the Gemara, Elamai, the Cheskasa Baduk. Okay, so you think this then is a good proof, right? That the Gemara says, Hana Atu, right? Atu Amiru Dahani Midi Meshashi Ispe. So it must be the Chazaka. Elamai, the Cheskasa Baduk. So then, Hai, Hakol Nemanim, Kolabatim Becheskas Badukim. The language, the formulation of the Gemara is inaccurate. Because the Gemara says that in this circumstance, we believe the witnesses or the bystander. But that's not really the truth. We do believe them, but we don't really believe them because we believe them. We believe them because we don't need them. We believe them because there's a cheskas bias baduk. That's what the Gemara is suggesting. The language should have, instead of saying hakol nemanim, which makes it sound like it's a credibility issue, the Gemara should have said kol abatim becheskas bedukim biyodalid miboyle. That's what the Gemara should have said. Oh, elamai mishumami redahani. Right. So then, what is the conclusion going back? That the only reason we believe that there was a bedikas chametz is because the katan, the Eved, the Isha said so. But if that's the case, says the Gemara, hello, Omri Hani, if they had not said anything, then lo wouldn't work. I mean, you couldn't rely on Bedikas Chametz of the home. But if that's the case, Tifshot Mine, Dein Cheskas Baduk, then why don't we derive from here the opposite? Previously, we thought that believing the Katan, the Isha, the Eved, prove that it was Cheskas Baduk, but now we're pointing out that it seems like we just believe them. But if we believe them, then the implication is that if they weren't there, or if we didn't believe them, we wouldn't rely on Cheskas Baduk. So isn't this a proof of the opposite? That a maskir bais l'chaveru biyom yudalid dafka in Cheskas Baduk? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, "Lo, li'olam emelecha cheskas baduk." Really, there is a presumption. Excuse me, that there was a bedikas chametz. Aye, so why here do we mention the namanus of the isha, the abed, and the katan? So the Gemara explains, "Hacha b'mayaskinan de muchsaklon de lo badak v'kamrihani." Badiknei. We're dealing with a very specific case. We're dealing with a situation where the presumptive state in this case, for whatever reason, it wasn't a typical case, was that there was no bedika. And we're being told that the nemanus of the katan, of the eved, and the isha override the chazaka, in this case, shelo nivdak. Okay? I might think that the Rabbanan would not believe the Kata, the Eved, and the Isha, since there is no Cheskas Baduk. Kamash Malan, Kima de Bedikas Chametz mid Rabbanan, who, since Bedikas Chametz is only a rabbinic obligation, Dimidoraisa, this is a Gemara we've had before, Bittel, the Alma Sagile. Because Minat Torah, all you really need to do is bittul. Therefore, himnu Rabbanan, bid Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, since this is only a chi of Rabbanan, gave extra namanus to the Eved, the Katan, and the Isha. Okay? So that's the Gemara. So this Gemara establishes that bittul's daraisa, that at least when there's bittul daraisa, there's bedika Rabbanan, the issue we discussed earlier in the year. And also seems to indicate that if it wasn't for Bidika under these conditions being Drabanan and the principle of Hemnu Rabbanan Adrabanan, we wouldn't rely on an Isha, an Eved, and a Katan. Why not? What about the regular din of an Echonem and Bisurim? So that's what I mentioned before. Some Rishonim prove from here that an Echonem Bisurim does not apply even to Isha Gedola. That's a minority view. The view of Tosas, if you look at it, Hemnu Rabbanan B'drabbanan, Tosas says, Afagav, the cult of our Shehu B'yadam, Hemnina Le'lanashim, B'avadim, B'afidim B'daraisa. We find that we believe women and Avadim, even on Daraisa Dinim, you know, as long as it's something that is B'yadam. Tosas here is probably operating L'shitasam in Masechet Gittin, where they point out that anytime something is keneged is chazak yisura, no eid achad is believed against the chazak yisura. That's at least one Gemara seems to say that. Many Rishonim paskin that way. However, if it's biyado, if the person themselves can affect the situation, then even if it's keneged is chazak yisura, we believe the eid achad. So Tosas here is saying, well, you see from other sugyas that women are believed even keneged is chazak yisura, as long as it's biyadam. Tosas understand that that's midin erechonem bisurin. So Tosas says, demaisim b'chol yom, shonu maminim le'isha ve'eved ala shchita, ala nikur, uper kamadir, gabi ma'al chilasa she'ena me'usar, mashma she'so mechalea, v'inan chala, u'maisar. We rely on both men and women every single day. You know, we trust our fellow Jews in all genders, right? Every time we sit down to a meal, we're trusting our fellow Jew, pretty much. That, you know, they didn't switch the food. Where did you get the food? Food is kosher food, right? So it seems clear that women, like men, are nemanos, you know, in Eid Echonem Misurim. Mikomokom gabi b'dikas chametz, afagav debiyadam, even though they too could accomplish B'dikas chametz, and therefore it's biyadam. Mikomakom iav midaraisa lo mahamnina lahu. Had it been minatari, we wouldn't have believed them. Mishum dika tircha yaseirta. The tzorach dikta gadol kinemuchach birushalmi. Shemifarish mibnation nashim atzlonio saying, the women are not, don't take seriously B'dikas chametz. That's what Yerushalmi says. Some of the mefarshim explain what I was saying before, which is, on the contrary, they take it the most seriously. They already know that their efforts, you know, to purge the home of chametz has been successful. So then when it comes to, you know, the ritual of, you know, going through the house with a candle to see if you can find a couple of crumbs after you've already done the hard work, you know. So being, you know, let's say, sufficiently appreciative, you know, of the arduous effort of B'dikas Chametz, you know, that's not something, you know, that we can count on. Either way, what Tosa is saying, what the Rishonim here are saying is that B'dikas Chametz is a special exception, but that generally women are nemanos, of course, in Eid Echonem Bisurim, although there are some Rishonim who disagree. The Ravid here, on the Rif, for example, says that women are always nemanos to speak about their own contribution. And he discusses the girsa here in this sugya. What does the Eved and the Isha and the Katan, what do they say? We witnessed someone doing B'dikas Chametz in this home? For Tosas, that's certainly fine. But the Ravid disagrees. So the Ravid says, no. The right girsa is that the Isha, the Eved, and the Katan need to say, I did the Bedika. Because then it isn't just Biyadam. It's really their Me'idim or Me'idos, if it's Nashim, Al Maisa Atzman. And they're in a unique position, you know, to have credibility about what they claim they did. That's different than as a bystander. It's ironic, of course, interesting, because in real Eidos, the opposite is true. The more you're a disinterested bystander, the more we believe you, and the more you're an actor, you know, a subject in the case, that, you know, that disqualifies you. But we're not talking about that here. We're not talking about objective Eidos, we're talking about Nemanos, right? Credibility in Eidach Hanem and Bisurim. That's a totally different thing. Here, Biyado or Meid Al Maisa Atzmo, these are actually credentials. So I don't want to go into this right now, but this is a fascinating topic, right? What the parameters of Nemanos of Eidach Hanem and Bisurim really is. This is one of the most important sugyas, even though you know it's about Bedikas Chametz Rabbanon. But how this squares with the other Gemaras that the Rishonim quote, the Gemara in Ha'isha Rabba and Yevamos, the Gemaras in Gittin, the Gemara in Erevin, the Gemara in Ksuvah Stafayin Beis, you know, a whole bunch of Gemara, Gemaras in the beginning of Chulin, like a whole bunch of Gemaras where it seems that we, you know, automatically rely upon without any kind of, you know, ambivalence or reticence, you know, the credibility of women just as much as we do men. You know, when it comes to matters of Isur. So how does that square with this Gemara and a couple of other Gemaras? That is the big question. I'm not going to go into that because it'll just take us too far. But you can see it's an interesting and an important topic. Okay, what I do want to discuss, at least tonight, before we move on to Bittul, what I do want to discuss is an earlier line in the Gemara. That's right. When the Gemara starts off by wondering, right, is there a presumptive bedika in the house? If I rent the property to someone else, and, you know, same question comes up about a sale, you might be mechalek, like we discussed last week, but it's a parallel question. If the property changes hands on Yom Adalid, is there a cheskas bedika or not? That's a suffix in the Gemara. But what's fascinating in the Gemara is this line. The Gemara says, "Lamai nafkamina." What difference does it make? Lishaile. Why don't we just ask him? What does that line mean? So there are two ways to read that line. Okay? One way is the way that Tosus read it and the Ran and the Ritva and the Beis Yosef, most Rishonim here. And the other way is the way the Bach read it. And I'll explain in just a second. The way that most Rishonim read it is as follows. The Gemara was saying, what difference does it make whether there's a Cheskas Bedika? Even if there is a Cheskas Bedika, you would still have the obligation to try to clarify what happened here more directly by asking the previous owner what happened. In other words, according to this majority reading of the Rishonim of the Gemara, this Gemara is weighing in on a very important conceptual question. And that is as follows. We know that the halacha has all sorts of mechanisms that we rely on. Okay? Rove, chazaka, different types of roves and chazakas, sveika drabanan, let's say lekula, safek tuma brishas harabim, tahar, safek tuma brishas hayachid, tame. These are all halachic mechanisms that we rely upon legitimately, right? Achrei rabin lahatos. We go azidam basarov. And the Gemara has in Chulin the whole discussion. How do you know that a chazaka is reliable halachically, right? So we have these institutions. The question is, can you rely on these institutions just, you know, in a vacuum? Or only b'deleis breira, when there's no other way to clarify what took place. L'chatchila, do we say, mash efshar levarer, tzarech levarer? In other words, are you obligated to try to pursue a purer, you know, truth, or a more definitive, right, reconstruction of what took place? Or can you rely on these halachic institutions, even l'chatchila? Okay? So this is a topic that we touched on last year. We didn't have a chance to delve into it, unfortunately. But it's the topic of Efshel Levar and Tzorach Levar. It came up last year when we learned Masachet Chulin towards the beginning, and again in Daf Yud. The Gemara says that Rov Mitzuyin Eitzel Shchita Mumchen Hay. The majority of people who pick up a Shchita knife and actually do a Shchita are trained in the halachos and in the technique of Shchita. Because it's presumptuous, you know, for someone who is not, either, you know, halachically or in terms of, you know, skill and training, you know, he just wouldn't know, he wouldn't pick up a shechita scalpel and just, you know, and do it. That's a dit. Rov mitzvin eitzel shechita mumkineh. And therefore, if you find a piece of shechted meat, right, you can rely on this rove, and you can eat it. However, what if the shochet is standing in front of you, and you could give him a bechina, right? Or you can, you know, ask him to demonstrate his technique or his expertise. Are you obligated to do that? Or can you just rely, as you would if he wasn't present, on Rov Mitzvin Eitzel Shechita Mumkineh? Bidaleisa, if he's not there anymore, you can rely on it. But if he's there, do you have the obligation to go the extra mile, right, to try to clarify even more effectively what took place? So this is a massive, massive machlokas harishonim. The Balamor, in the beginning of Chulin, Daf Yud or so, and the Ra'ah in Bedek Abayis, and the Ritva, who was very influenced by, the Ra'ah was influenced by the Balamor, and the Ritva was influenced very much by the Ra'ah. So the Ritva and Chulin as well. All three of them paskin that does not require any further birur, any further clarification. If he's there, you don't need to give him a bechina, and you don't need to check out his technique. The Ra'ah says it in a funny way. The Ra'ah says, even though the Gemara says Rov Mitzvin Eitzel Shechita Mumkineh, what they mean is Kol Mitzvin Eitzel Shechita Mumkineh. We treat it like a vada. Does he mean that the probability is greater? I mean, it's not just a 70%, it's a 95%. Is that what he means? Or does he mean that al pi din, once you have rov, and the din is ozinam basa rov, you know, then you have kol, rupa kikula, whatever you want to say. Not exactly, but okay. Hard to say. The ritva in Masachet Chulin is much more explicit. The Ritva says, the din of Azinam Basarov, he says, is not a bediyavet. It's a lechatchila. It's a din vadai in the Torah. The Torah was koveya, that whenever there's rov, that is the law. That's how we define things. Okay? And therefore, even if you could gain greater clarity, you're not under any obligation to do so. Because of Chathila, you can rely on Rov. Very interesting Ritva. However, the view of the Balamor, the Ritva, and those who follow, are in the minority. The majority view is the view of the Rif and the Rambam and the Ramban in Mechamos, in Chulin, and the Rajba, both in the Masechta, as well as in Torah Sabayis, and Mishmeres Levayis, and in Tshuvas, all of whom paskin that Efshar Levar and Tzarek Levar, that if the Shochet is still there and you have access to him, you should give him a Bechina and check out his technique. Oh. So it's interesting to note that's also the view of the Bali Tosas in Chulin, and that's also the view of Tosas right here on Abdallah Omid Beitz. Or if you want to look in the sheets, we have that Tosas. Lav Mishum Dechaz Kosobaduk. Tosas says on the top of the page, Tema. My Sokadaitach. Tosas asks a simple question. Like, what's going on here? What's the Havamina? The Ibechaz Kosobaduk, if it's really true that Cheskaso is Baduk, that there's a presumed, you know, ruba delesa kaban, meaning a presumed bedika. Imkein matzar chlamira nahani klal. You remember the Gemara went back and forth. There is a chazaka. There's no chazaka. How does that fit in with the fact that we seem to be asking and relying upon isha eved and katan? So now Tosa says, good, 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 Lamaskana, or according to the view that it's Becheskas Baduk, so what's the point of the Eved and the Isha and the Kata? What role do they play? So listen to the answer. V'omeri, demairi kigoncha balabais ba'ir, because we're talking about a situation where the balabais is accessible. He didn't run away. He didn't go away for Pesach yet. Okay. Kegon shabalabayis beer. Avogav de cheskasa baduk, kivin de isa beer, tzorech li shael heimenu. You have to ask him. Ulahachi, mahani, amir dahani, de lo shalinan. Meaning, now it's perfect, you can understand the Gemara. If there's a cheskas baduk, what's the point of asking the katan, the isha, the eved? The answer is that exempts you from asking the accessible owner. Why are you normally obligated to do that? Because Ef Shalavar, it's Oracle Bar. Then Tosis goes on to say, Afa Gav de Gabe Tevel, Samchin Nacheskas Chaver, Vein Tzar Chafilo Lishael. When it comes to Cheskas Chaver, Tevel, we never find that you should ask him. Hayne mishum dekim shesholeach lalechol mistama tikna shaliyav l'day michshal. Says that if a chaver gives you from his produce, that's the equivalent to him saying to you, you don't need to be mafresh. Because otherwise he's going to tell you need to be mafresh. Otherwise it's a michshal. He's giving you the food. But that's not what's going on. Not exactly that is going on in the transition in the house, because it's not as big a michshel. You're not going to eat treif. So your bias won't be baduk. There's still bitol. Right? That's what Tosa says. Yeah. The kivin is shesholech alecha mistama tikna Shalo yavo lidei michshal. Avagabi bedika, afidu lo yabaduk, liya kolkach michshal, kach tzorech li shayel, imu be'ir. Okay? And the continuation is fine. So the reef basically says that im ef shalavar tzorech levarer, and therefore here you have to ask the balabayas if he's around. If not the balabayas, if you want to potter yourself from asking the balabayas, you have to ask a bystander. The Bach notices that Tosas didn't hang this conclusion on the earlier part of the Gemara. Tosas came to this conclusion because they're trying to figure out what role do the bystander play if indeed there's a cheskas bedika. But if you look at the Ran just for a minute in the back of the Gemara, you'll see that the Ran comes to the same conclusion, connects it to the Rif in Hilchos Shechita, but he does so by the beginning of the Gemara, where the Gemara says, L'may nafkemina l'shayle. Look how that goes for a minute. We'll turn to page 'Aleph Amud Beis in the Daf Erif. Look at the Ran. Garsina migamar bo minem Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Hamasker b'ayis l'chaver b'yudalit. Cheskos abaduk or in cheskos abaduk. L'may nafkemina. Delay salahai din ishaile. Klomar. Everybody have that? You'll see, I have it in the sheets through the Beis Yosef, actually. So we'll see in a minute. But Klomar. D'i isa l'masker kamon. If the masker is present, he's accessible. Lo nafkala minai midi. Then it doesn't matter whether cheskos abaduk or in cheskos abaduk. Because either way, you need to ask him. Tafil neima de cheskos abaduk, even if you were to paskin cheskos abaduk, kolecha de isa kamon, shalin ome, you still have to ask him if you could. Velosam chinan achazaka. We don't rely on the chazaka. The kolecha de efshel levre milsa mevararinan. The Ran, right, connects this to the beginning of the Gemara, unlike Tosas, and he expands it and makes a larger universal principle out of it. Right? Kolechadev Shalavure Milsa, Velosam Chinan Achazaka, Mevarin. Lefika Kosov Rav Alfasi, the Parakamid the Chulin, Velosam Chinan Arov Mitzvah Yinetzah Shechita Mumchanein. We don't rely on Arov Mitzvah Yinetzah Shechita Mumchanein unless we need to rely on it. Elahechada Azalei Alma. The person died, or he took a long trip and we don't have access to him. Belesa Kaman Dineshaile. He's not there, we can't ask him. Fascinating question. Aval Isa Kaman, but if he's present, Lo Samchin Lachazaka, Ubad Kinale, Kemosha Kasafti Sham, Besiata Dishmaya. The Ran says, look what I wrote in Chulin. I agree with the position of the Ramban, of the Rif, of the Rambam, against the Balamor, the Ra'ah, and the Ritva. I think that, of course, you could rely on a Rov, a Chazaka, when you have to. But when there's a better method of clarifying what really took place, then you're obligated to pursue that preferred method. You can't just rely on the mechanism. Very important idea. Okay? However, let's contrast this with the Ritva. And it's good that we have the Ritva here in Psachim, because I mentioned before that the Ritva in Chulin is very clearly an advocate of the position of the Balamor and the Ra'ah. And his language actually is very, very, just trying to think if I can, just hold on 1 second to see if I can find it. I'd have to take advantage of being, you know, take advantage of the unhappy, you know, situation of not being together, but more access to the Sfarim. So here, let me see if I can find it. The Ritva in Chulin, as he says this very sharply, he says, let's see if I can find it. If I can, I'll drop it. Yeah. Aval Morenu Hara'ah, this is on Dav Gimel Amud Beis in Chulin, Nota L'Divrei K'tzas Ha'achronim, the Ra'ah agrees with others, meaning Balamor, the afle she'ena mumchen lo chayshin and klal, afil hechadi isa kamon. The kivin erov mitzuin eitz ashchita mumchenein, the din torahu laleches achar harov, since the Torah said you can rely on the majority, you can rely on probability. V'afilo lechatchila, shuv einu lachosh leklom. So you don't have to be mavarer at all. Right, let's say you know there's a 15% chance that it isn't so, a 20% chance. This is a way of eliminating any doubt. We can ask him again. We could check his technique. We could give him a bechina. That would go from 80%, to, I don't think it takes us to 100, but to 95, to 97. Do you have a right to rely on 85% or 80% or 65% when you can get 95% clarity? Or maybe even 100? That's a very interesting question. But the Ritvan Chulin pretty much says that the answer is, if the Torah said that you can rely on it, it's good enough. But that's not the majority view. So what will the Ritva do with this Gemara that says, or that seems to say, that, if you can ask the Maskir, you're obligated to ask him. This Gemara seems to fly in the face of the Balamor Ra'ah Ritva Psak in Chulin. So actually the Ritva in Chulin does discuss it. And what he says is a little surprising given what he wrote in Chulin, but it doesn't contradict it. It just forces us, to expand our, our perspective of the Ritva's view. So look here at the Ritva. This is on page 1 in Mar Mekomos. He says, Chidush HaRitva Psachim Dal Ramad Aleph. Delesa Kamanda Neshaile. Says the Ritva, Yesh Lemeidim Mikan, from here we can learn, She'ein Somchen Ala Chazakos Kol Hecha De'ef Shalameida Kushta. That you can't rely on a chazaka whenever it's possible to know the truth. Again, he doesn't formulate it as, 95, better, more, even absolute. You can know 100%, right? So it sounds like you're obligated to do that. Kagon, ra echad sheshachat, o bedika sakin achar shechita. Right? That's what the Ran wrote. And the Ritva says, V'kosav haritva, ul dvarenu shekasavnu sham b'siyata d'shmaya, d'samchinan achazaka. But there in Chulin we wrote that this isn't true. And that even if you only have 60% or 70%, if you have a chazaka or a rove, you don't need to go for the 100%. It's an amazing shita. Yeshlomar she'ein kol achazakos shavos. He doesn't say what he means by that. He basically says that what the din that I wrote there, which is that Azlina Basarov and so on, is a lechatchila na b'diavad. You have to qualify it by distinguishing between different mechanisms, different chazakos. It's possible that he's referring to something that the Ramban develops in Chulin. Although again, it's a little bit opposite of the way he presents it in Chulin. The Ramban, of course, in Chulin distinguishes between a miyud amatsui and a miyud she'eno matsui. Right? Ramban says the din that efshalavar tzarech levarer, that if you can clarify something 100%, that you're obligated to do that, that is only when there's a big gap. Meaning there's a rove and there's a miut. 60-40, 70-30, I'm making up the numbers, 70-30, 80-20. Okay? But let's say it's 98 and 2%. I don't know where to draw the line. 95 and 5? 90 and 10? Some poskim actually think that 90% is the Hagdara, of Miyad Sheino Matsu. It's hard to know that, but whatever. Certainly 80-20 is not Miyad Sheino Matsu. 51-49 is certainly not, right? There's 51-49 Rove and there's a 99-1 Rove. You know, and you know, there are stages in between. So the Ramban says, now again, you could have said that the din of Efshel Devar Tzor Klevar means you have to clarify as much as possible. If you can get 100%, that's even better than 99%. Certainly better than 90%. And on the Ritva Balamor side, you could have said, Torah said 50, 51-49. It's the Torah's call. But you can understand that both sides might want to distinguish and say something like what the Ritva says here, which is Ein kol hachazakos shavos. So what the Ramban meant, what of course was, and the Rajba and others embrace it, is that, you know, if it's a mid shena matsui, then that little, the amount of suffix and the discrepancy in terms of what you will accomplish with further clarification, you know, doesn't register sufficiently. The way the Rav used to say it was, I've discussed this in the past, is that if there's a mid shena matsui, then there's not really a latest suffix. Or sometimes he'd say, it's a birur, not just a hakara. Meaning, it's not just that we say, you know, the law of probability allows us to move forward. And it's not even that we say, you know, probability determines what likely took place here. It's stronger than that. The assumption is that, you know, there's no problem. The problem or the suffix doesn't register. Again, you're crossing the street. You should look both ways and be mindful of the traffic and be aware in the back of your mind that accidents happen. But with all of that, most people, when they, you know, when they cross the street, they don't calculate their odds. They don't say, you know, there's a 98.7, you know, likelihood that I'll get to the other side safely. That's not how we look at it. You basically say that, you know, it's not dangerous to cross the street as long as you're careful. If you're doing it blindly, it'd be dangerous, right? But then the percentages would be much higher, you know, too. But if the percentages of danger are very, very low, then we can usually reconstruct them after the fact. We don't anticipate them prior to the event. So even though you could still eliminate 5% or 2%, whatever it is, right? There we don't say, according to the Ramban, Efshel Devar Tzor Klevar. It's hard to say that that's what the Ritva is talking about, because the Ritva is identifying with the Balamor and the Ra'ah in Roman Tzui Netzel Shechita Mumchenhein. You know, this, it doesn't seem like there's a machlokas in Betzius between, you know, one group of Rishonim and the other, how likely is it and which category is the miut of a shochet, you know, who's not a mumcha. I'm assuming that they agree about the numbers. Everybody did the same, statistical analysis, you know, the same census. The question is a legal question. So therefore, we have to kind of adjust the Ritva a little more. I think what we need to say for the Ritva is not that, you know, the only time that Efshel Devar Ein Tzor Klevar is if there's a Mira Matsui, but that the only time that we do say Efshel Devar Tzor Klevar is if there is a Miut, right, Shema'od Ma'od Nikar, where, you know, again, I'm not saying, you know, 51-49. Maybe it's also, you know, 60-40, you know. But once you get to, you know, 65-35 and certainly 70-30, you don't need to be at 90-10 or 95-5. Okay? And maybe it's not just a question of the numbers. Here's where a suggestion that I always like to make may come in handy.
Why can't you distinguish between a situation that's totally on a particular Misa,
we're going to get to
it, as opposed to the guy's a reputable shochet. So there's nothing that generating a sophic. There's nothing generating a sophic. We have a chazak of rov mitzunes u'shchita mumchim, but there is a sophic being generated here, whether the guy made a bedik or not. He had to exert himself, especially for this situation.
But you have to exert yourself for shchita too.
I
will see in a moment something like what you're saying. I just don't know whether rov mitzuyin and bedik are so, different.
It's like a status quo. Rov mitzuyin is a status quo. That's the status. Rov mitzuyin. Everybody who picks up a shechita knife is a qualified shochet.
And here we're saying that everybody on Yom Yadalid is becheskas having done a bedika.
Only because they exerted themselves today to create that situation. It's not a status quo.
And only because he exerted himself, to do the shechita properly, according to the dinim and according to the technique. I think there is a little bit of a difference, which we'll get back. But I think the basic idea of what you're saying is stronger than the difference between these two actions. I'm going to explain that in just a minute. I'm going to show you. I think that the Beis Yosef and the Bach are relating to this question. Maybe you're right. Maybe the Ritva isn't saying the differences between... What I want to say for the Ritva is as follows. This is something I like to say anyway. And that is that there are three levels, when it comes to, let's say, probability or reliability. One is where it's almost just a din Torah, practically arbitrary, at least in its application on an individual plane. We'll call it a hachra'a, but the Torah, the Torah writes the rules, the Torah gets to make the rules, so you get to apply the rules. So Torah said achram lahatos, if that means 55-45, or even 51-49, in some circumstances, that's the way it is. But it's hard to say that 51-49 is any sort of a birur. It's a hakra. It's a din Torah that you're stymied, you don't know which way to go, you don't have any other evidence. But if you can get some other evidence to be mavarer, that would be better. Then there's another category, and that is when you have a compelling rov. Then you don't feel that you're just being machria and that it's arbitrary, but the Torah, said you could do it. You even feel that the evidence in this particular case justifies your behavior and your policy. That doesn't mean it's foolproof, but you have a certain measure of confidence that the probability is properly being applied to this particular application and circumstance. That is what I would call a birur, even though there still might remain a latus asafek. Meaning, it doesn't mean that there's, that we've discounted, the minority option. It just means that we're confident, that this comes likely, within the majority option. So let's say, in terms of numbers, I don't think the issue is always numbers. I'll explain in a minute. 70-30, 80-20, okay? And then there's a third category. That third category is, there's no vadai, but it's more than a birur, right? We don't think there's a problem at all. We don't recognize or acknowledge a problem unless we know that there is one, reconstructing backwards. So maybe the idea is that the Ramban and the Rajba, that whole group, they basically say, if it's not a Mira Matsui, then, Mira Matsui doesn't register, prospectively. We don't anticipate problems. And therefore, Efshel Varer, in that case, ain't so clear, because you have a good Birur. You're more than a Birur. You don't really have a serious suffix unless you know you do. Anything beyond that, if you can get better birur, even if there is birur, better birur is better, is preferred over lesser birur. And maybe what the Ritva says is, no, that's not true. Birur is birur. The Torah said you can rely on birur. However, there's still a difference between birur and achra. So the more, if you could apply, you know, the probability or whatever to this particular case confidently, so you already have a birur, that's fine. Even though there's a latest asafek, you don't need more than that. But if all you could do is be machria, meaning invoke the din Torah so to avoid paralysis, but you haven't really clarified anything, it's 51-49, it's 55-45, it's 60-40, you know? How confident are we that we know that, you know, 60% of the cases, this is going to be fine. It's like vaccines, you know? There's a huge qualitative difference, you know, between being told that the vaccine is 51% effective, you know, than being told that it's 94%, you know, effective. And what about the ones that are 80% as opposed to the ones that are 65%? I think intuitively, we think there's a difference between those things as well. We think there's a huge difference between 51 or 55% and 80%. But there's also a qualitative leap, you know, between 75 or 80% and 95%. So I think that is one possible way to explain the Ritva. The other possibility is to explain what you were suggesting. But I don't know about those two particular cases only. Maybe you're right. It's a question of initiative. But let's try to clarify it a little bit more. Where do we see this? In the discussion of the Bach and the Beis Yosef. So, and maybe that's the pshat in the Ritva too. Or if it isn't, it's just the pshat in the Bach and the Beis Yosef. Okay. So let's turn to the Bach and the Beis Yosef for a minute. First, the Beis Yosef is on page 2. 1 second. Yeah.
Page 2, line 8.
Line 8, okay. That's a Socher Bais Mechavero?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the Beis Yosef. He first quotes the Ran. I'll run over through it quickly. Socher Bais Mechavero, Barba Osar, Bo Minem Rav Nachem, Lasker Bais Mechavero, Biyadalad, Cheskos Obaduk, or In Cheskos Obaduk. L'may nafka mina, delay selahay de neshayle. Okay, the guy's not around. Kaso aran, klomar, in other words, I isa lamaske, come on, lo nafka lamidi. If he was there, we wouldn't care whether we had a cheskas bedika or not. Why? Dafilu neymed de cheskas abaduk, kolechad isa kamon shaylina, velo samchina na chazaka. Because if you can get greater clarity, right, vadai, or a higher percentage, you're obligated mostly to pursue that. Right? Then the Gemara says, then he quotes in the Hemshech of the Gemara, Omer Nachum Yitzchak Tanisua, Hakol Neman Abir Chametz, Afilu Nashim, Avadim Ketanim, B'dochula B'Gemara. Okay? So now, what's the Maskana? Is there a cheskas baduk on Yom Yadalid or not? So the Kosov Aran, Afilohachi kibin the Pashte, Rav Nachman, since Rav Nachman originally thought that there was a cheskas baduk, even though it's not proven in the Maskana of the Gemara, Ubidurabananu, and this is anyways Adindurabanan Bidika, Dimidaraisa, Bebitol Bialmasagile, therefore Naktinan Kivasei, Cheskaso baduk. Therefore, we come to the conclusion that there is cheskas baduk, even though it's not definitively proven in the Gemara, since it's a din drabanan, and Rav Nachman originally was strong about it. That's probably the maskana. Miu, once again, I isa the maskir shailin amle. But if you have a maskir, present, you should check with him. You can't rely on the chazaka. Maybe even more so, because we're not 100% sure that we even paskin this way, right? Udakida kasivna v'chein pasko arambam v'harosh v'achina k'tinan udaloka gos maimunios. Interesting. The Agos Maimunios quotes Shekosu d'ablazer mimitz that the Urayim v'sharagonim cholkim bazeh uposkin kol deteku deisura l'chumra kuvi afilu b'shel sofrim. Even if you have a suffek, a teku in the Gemara, which is only about a drabanan, they think that you have to paskin l'chumra. It doesn't come under the rubric of sveka drabanan l'kula, since it's a psak question. So according to them, we don't rely on cheskas baduk for bedikas chametz, even though it's a din drabanan. Okay, now here comes the main point. Says the Beis Yosef, im tomar, ki isa lamaskar kamana mai shailin on lei, below some chilin chazaka. Why this rule that efshel avarer tzorech levarer, that you don't rely on the chazaka completely? After all, mai shna bebehema ti isa kaman, afil hachi lo batkin lei bekula treifos, when you have an animal and you're about to shecht it to make sure, you're about to shecht it to make it kosher meat, do you have to check all the trefos? Or can you presume that it's a healthy animal? Why don't you have the obligation, if you could, to check it? Right? Says the Beis Yosef, an unbelievable Yisod, Yishlomar, the shiny behema, shehi becheskas ksheira, mishanolda. Okay, sounds a little familiar to what you were saying before, but it's tricky. Have a bias, kol hashana becheskas sheina baduku. Now, what exactly is he saying? So I think that there are two ways that you could understand, or maybe three ways to understand the Beis Yosef. One way is to distinguish between chazaka and rov. So let me explain what I mean. The word chazaka is sometimes used unevenly, it's even a misnomer a little bit in some of the Gemaras. It's hard to say that, but it's kind of a little true. Sometimes we call a rov a chazaka. What do I mean by that? As opposed to a real chazaka, a chazaka, muksak chazaka, status quo chazaka. What's the example? Our sugya. What does the Gemara say? Gemara wants to know if a maskir sells his, rents his property on Yom Yadalid, if he rents his property on Yom Yadalid, is there a presumed bedika? Chazaka, that it's baduk or not? What does the word chazaka mean there? It doesn't mean a status quo ante. He never did the bedika before. The point isn't that he did a bedika, and the question is, did he undo the bedika? The question is, did he do a bedika? So chazaka here, it's becheskas baduk, is another way of saying, ruba de isa, come on. If you take a poll, you'll find out, right, that typically, if somebody, you know, it's already Yom Yadalid, that, you know, the person's going to do bedika right away. Therefore, it's becheskas baduk. But the word becheskas is misleading. It's not a chazaka like, let's say you did a bedika in a bias. Okay. And then, you know, something happened and you're not sure if it got contaminated again, if chametz was entered the home. That's a real chazaka. Because you did a bedika, it's bechazkas baduk. Question is, did something, the status quo ante, the original chazaka, right, the muksakut, is presumed to hold unless you know that it didn't. That's not what maskir chazaka shebadko means. That's a rubidaleisa, come on. That's behavioral. It's what most people will do. It's probability. We sometimes use the word chazaka for rove when it's behavioral. However, what's the relationship between rove and chazaka? Real chazaka. Again, rove is probability, right? You have a majority and minority scenario. What's chazaka? Status quo ante, right? The assumption that, you know, a status continues unless it is undermined. The previous status quo still prevails. Oh, so what, when you have a behema and it's omedes lefanecha, and you're mistopic whether it's a trefer or not, right? Is that a rove or a chazaka? That's a chazaka. Because it was nolad kosher. The last we ever knew, every animal is becheskas kashrus. It's not a rove. That's a status quo ante, unless you know otherwise. The burden of proof is for you to prove that it changed. Mikvah shenimda v'netzel, but a trickier question. Anyway, you have a mikvah shenimdad, and you want to know whether you can rely on it. You have the requisite amount of sa'ah in a mikvah. Right? That's a status quo ante. It's not a rove. Now, what is the relationship? That's a tricky question. Between rove and chazaka. Which one's stronger? Which one's weaker? So usually we say, the Gemara says, ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. In a straight out clash between a rove and a chazaka, we assume that rove wins, all things being equal. Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. However, that doesn't mean, as some Rishonim point out, that if you're evaluating rove separately and chazaka separately, that a rove is stronger than a chazaka. Makes sense, but it's not, doesn't have to be that way. So let's get back to this question. This question of Efshe Levar or Tzarech Levar. Is it possible to distinguish between Rove and Chazaka? Or let's say Sveka Drabana and Lekula, or Safek Tame, you know, Lechiyuv or Leptur, Lekula Lechomra. Right? You could, not so clear. Is this a din vadai or a bidyavet? Is it a birur or a hachra? You might be bechalik between rov, chazaka, safek drabanan lakula, safek tom brishus harabim tahar, safek tom brishus hayachid tame, etc. So one possible way to explain the Beis Yosef, he says, oh, from birth, there's a chazak. Did he mean to say it's stronger, therefore there's less of a latest asafek otherwise, because it's always been this way? So it's weaker and stronger chazakos? Or did he mean to say a chazaka mileda? Or just a chazaka as opposed to a rove? Maybe in rove you have to be mevarer, imefshar, because of the miyu. But in status quo chazaka, maybe not. Rove is usually Rov beats a chazaka in a straight clash between a competition between a Rov and a chazaka. Rov overcomes chazaka. That doesn't mean when there's no clash and we're evaluating the relative merits or character of each one of these, that they aren't different, and maybe that difference in some respects makes chazaka stronger. Okay. So I think one way to say it is chazaka mileida. The other way to say it is chazaka versus rov. Another way to say it is the way that Leon said it before, which is maybe in the case of bias, you know, it's mechusar maisa. Here, it's mimela, right? Even more so than rov metzuyin. I understand you want to also be mechalek rov metzuyin for the ritva, which I understand. You might be right. Just much more subtle there. So look at the Bach. The Bach has two chidushim. The first thing the Bach says is the Ran's Raya that the Gemara says, my nafgamina lishayle, he says, I don't think that's a Raya at all. I don't think that the way the Ran read the Gemara is mukhrach at all. I don't think this Gemara proves that. Why not? Look here at the in the Bach, he'll tell me the number, four lines into the Bach, he quotes the Ran. Because of Aran de Leysel Haidin Neshaile? What line is that?
That's 23.
Okay, great. This is where the lines really help you. Because of Aran de Leysel Haidin Neshaile Klomar, the Isa Lamaska, come on, lo nafkin lamidi dafilu neima, the chaskasa baduk, kolechid Isa, come on, shalina mai, says the Bach, ein perusho machriach. Shekein adin, this Gemara doesn't, by the way, it would have been, if the Ritva had interpreted like the Bach, he wouldn't have had to say anything. He wouldn't have to say, ein kolachazakos shavos. How does the Bach interpret the Gemara? It says, Ika lememer de lamai de pashad Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak de cheskas abaduk ein tzarach lemishayle. Afidah bedisa, come on. No. If you really hold that there's a cheskas bedika, then even if he's accessible and you could just ask him, you don't need to. Like the Balamor and the Ra'ah and the Ritvan Chulin. Aye, what does the Gemara mean when it says, Lemainaf Kamina Lashaile? How the comma Lemainaf Kamina Lashaile Okaperusho? Mainaf Kamina Babayazu, the Masapkalach. Halokivin the Safeku, Nashaile Lahotsimide Safek. Says, I have a much easier way to read the Gemara. Says, the Gemara says, we're not sure whether the Maskir did a Bedika and therefore does the Socher obligated to do one or not. We're not sure whether there's a cheskas bedika or not. Says the Gemara, according to the Bach, l'may nafkamina l'shaylei. And if we're not able to figure out, we poshate this question, it's not the end of the world. You can still ask the guy, who cares? He's not saying, if there's a cheskas bedika, you still need to ask. He's saying, if we can't figure out whether or not there is a cheskas bedika, right? We can still usually proceed without too much difficulty because there's an alternative. We could just ask the guy. But in Achanami, if we conclude that there is a bedika, that there is a cheskas bedika, even if he's standing in front of you, you don't need to ask him. Gamra yaso mi perakama dechulin, he says, yesh lidchos. Why? The Dafka Shkita Daraisa Tzorek L'Mishayle. The Ran compares Bedika de Rabbanan to Shkita Daraisa. If in Shkita there's an outside chance that maybe you're violating, don't rely on the Rov. If you have a better Biror, you can ask him. That's true also in Echiv de Rabbanan, like Bedika. maybe you should distinguish between Daraisa and Darabana. Achein, but Tosfos, he says, Muchach de Kein Adin, Aflamai de Pach, says Tosfos didn't proof it from the beginning of the Gemara. Okay, now skip towards the end. You see the next paragraph, the Kosovo Beis Yosef?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Kosovo Beis Yosef, what line is that?
36.
36.
Kosovo Beis Yosef. Im Tomar. Is that the right one? Okay. Ki Isa Lamaska, come on, Amai Shailina, below Samin Chazaka, Mai Shnobi Behema. Ishlomar, Shiny Behema, Shibakaskas Kshera. Mishinoda, Avabai is called Ashana Bechaska Shena Baduku, Ad Kan Lashona. The Bach says, I don't like the Beis Yosef's distinction. Beloya Dati Tamu, the Kibbutz Samchinin al Keskoso, Baduk, Kesheena Lefanenu, Imken Kesheyeshna Lefanenu, Nami. He says, I don't understand. Let's say there's no one to ask. If you assume that there's a chazkas bedika, so there is a proper chazaka, what's the difference between the proper chazaka of bedika and the muchzakus of eino treifa? The lo have a chazaka gemura, im kein, gam be'eino lefaneinu natzrichenu livdok. Then why do we rely on it ever? I don't think this is such a strong question. Certainly not in light of the Ritva, that Ein Kol HaChazakos Shavos, and not even in light of the Ramban himself, right? Who in Chulin says the difference between Miyad HaMatsui, Miyad She'eno Matsui. So to say, listen, there's a Chazaka, it's not foolproof, and therefore Efshel Levarer Tzorach Levarer, but there are also some Chazakos that are stronger. They're Chazakos from birth. That's muchzakos, or that's even, you know, a more compelling chazaka. Or that's just muchzakos as opposed to rove. But he himself wants to answer this question. So what does he answer? Oh. So he says, Achena ikar de behema shayni, shecheskas kashrusa mimelahi. This is closer to what you were saying. He doesn't think that the issue is cheskasa, right? Mechayim, mishanolda. You know, how old is the chazaka, or that it's the ultimate, you know, status quo anti chazaka as opposed to a rove. He doesn't think that's the point. He thinks the difference is between a birur that is dimimela, like the chazaka or the rove of not being trefa. To become trefa, something has to change. An animal is born chaya. But when it comes to bedikas chametz, this is, I think, what you were saying, right? You have to do a bedikas chametz. You need a maisa. It's mechusar maisa. That makes a difference. So is the difference between Drabbanan and Daraisa, that's one suggestion in the Bach, or the differences between Mechusar Maisa and Mimela, whereas for the Beis Yosef, the difference is Chazaka Mishanolda, or maybe in general, Chazaka of status quo, as opposed to either, you know, a lesser Chazaka, or maybe a Rove. But that gets you also into the question of a more complicated relationship between Ruba Chazaka, Ruba Adif, the relationship between Rov and Chazaka itself. So let me just conclude with one other point so we can continue next week with Bittel. You know, I'm not going to because it'll take too long. I'll just tell you what it is and then we'll finish with it next week. The Magen Avraham notes that there's a Rama in Yoredeya. I have them both on the sheet. In Simen Kuf Chav Zayin, which characterizes Bedikas Chametz as Cheskas, something that's not Becheskas That's not a chazaka de isura. Chazkas isur. You just look here for 1 minute. On page 3, maybe? Or is it already 4? Shulchan Aruch Yehoradei Hilchos Yayin Nesach, Siman Kuf Kav Zayin.
Page 3, line 18.
Okay. So if you look at the last 3 lines, being made al Yisur D'Rabbanan L'Hakel, if you have an Eidechad being made, you know, testifying or testing to something that is only an Yisur D'Rabbanan L'Hakel, the lo ischazak isura, and there's no ischazak isura, I mean, it's not established as an isur. Kigom bedikas chametz neman, demnu rabbanan vidrabbanan. Avalim ischazak isura in a neman klal. So the Ramah characterizes bedikas chametz, mean a suffek, whether there was bedikas chametz, as ein kan. Is absence of ischazak isura. And in the piece above, Magen Avram Tav Lamed Zayin Sif Katan Ches, the Magen Avram says, quotes this, and he says, Elashi, Tzorich Iyin Al Ramah, Shekosa B'Yaradeya, L'chametz Lo Ischazak Yisura, L'fikach Nemanim. L'chametz Ischazak Yisura. Right? Why is chametz not ischazak isura? All year round, you have chametz in your home. We want to know whether or not you did a bedika. Why isn't that ischazak isura? A very parallel situation, in a way, to what we were just talking about in the Beis Yosef of the Bach. Okay, so I want to pick up with that very briefly, and then I want to talk about bitol chametz and bal yiroah next week. Mir Tashem.